This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 643. I am Brian Kilby. If you're tired about us talking about Unicron, well,
join the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will be the last time for a while.
No, we'll have an update. How quick do you think we'll get our first update?
At least 9-10 months.
Yeah.
No, I'm declaring a moratorium right now. We are not talking about Unicron again until at least the end of the year recap show.
Brian is ignoring that moratorium. And
I'm gonna say we'll hear something in a month.
What? Well, I mean, I guess it could reveal some new freebie, but what'll it matter then? Everybody's already locked in.
Not even a freebie, just hey, we're in this stage. New
accessory, whatever.
Yeah. You know, the stages of the
grief
production or
acceptance. We've all had acceptance.
Yeah. Hey, so Diecast, Jason's here. Chris,
hey.
Yep. Matt, Rob, Don.
Hi.
No, John. John is on a business dinner.
Obi's having steak.
I don't know.
I mean, sushi would be a good choice, too, if somebody else is paying.
I mean, he's probably paying. His company is probably paying.
That counts as somebody else paying.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah.
If it's on someone's expense account, I don't care whose expense account it is.
Oh, yeah, I got comped sushi last week because I was on business trip, so.
Nice. Well, when you came to Nashville that time, you got comped sushi, too.
Yes, I did. I was on a business trip for that trip.
And we talked business during that dinner.
Well, no, we didn't, but it didn't matter.
Well, we didn't talk your business, but we talked some business.
That's true. Yeah.
I remember that one time RFC almost comped our meal, but the bank account was empty.
Yeah, it usually is. tfradio.net/Amazon, or if you want to help us out, paypal.me/tfradio. I will get that Patreon eventually.
You should.
tfradio.net/Amazon. Hey, so, not a lot of news this week, other than Unicron, which we'll talk about. We will, however, go over what we learned, I guess, from the unboxing, which I'm just spoiling the news right now, but that's the only thing that we have from New York Comic Con last week, because that was under moratorium before we could talk about it last week, and we're covering what we got. That's pretty much the show this week, so... If those are not your favorite segments, you can just turn this off now and go to tfradio.net/Amazon and, you know, buy a 100-inch 4K TV.
But, ooh. You know, maybe consider keeping us on anyway, because we still do make good background noise, even if it's, you know, not interesting conversation. But it will be interesting conversation because I'm here.
Yes. And, you know, also next week is our 20th anniversary episode.
Well, damn.
Ooh, well,
yeah.
Geez.
I know. So sad.
So we'll definitely have to talk about Unicron next week then.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I don't think I can make it next week, Brian.
Okay.
I gotta wash my hair next week.
I'll just replay. I'll just replay the first episode, which is 9 minutes long. I'll just replay it like 8 times in loop.
No, replay it 20 times, obviously.
Oh yeah, it's true. I've gone back lately and tried to listen to some of those shows, and while I'm very proud of what we've done over the years, you don't have to go back and listen to those episodes. It's some of them, like after the first year, it's actually not bad, but it's interesting to go back to hear what we're talking about back then. But just like the audio quality and everything is such crap. But you know,
well, yeah,
yeah,
it was, real player.
The thing is, we were like people who were sending me like segments and stuff for the show. Most of them were over dial up, sending it in weird non-standard audio files because there weren't really a lot of standards that people, you know, outside of professionals adhered to at that point. It's amazing that we actually did it. Yeah,
you didn't have standards for years. That's why I got involved.
Yeah, I know, right? So, yeah.
Well, I guess along the same line, you know, if you want to go back and listen to like the Superhero Time archives, just like skip everything that's not an episode from 2013 or just listen to that one episode of Star Trek. But like the 2013 run of Superhero Time is most of the time JD was on. So like that's definitely the part to listen to.
That's good stuff. It is good stuff. It really is.
But it's also pretty crap audio quality at that point. So, you know, be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. Heck, even when we started, I didn't really have a good grasp of what I was doing when it came to, you know, like certain things.
So, yeah, I know. Yeah. I was there.
Nah. Wasn't that bad. Okay. Okay. Let's go ahead and...
I think we're talking about different things.
Yeah, we are talking about different things. So don't forget our Roku channel, tfradio.net/Roku, and our Fire TV channel, tfradio.net/Fire TV. Those URLs will magically take you to where you need to go to install them remotely from your browser. It's magic.
Magically delicious.
Anything else before we jump into what we got this week? No? Okay. Who wants to go first? I don't care. Chris, hey! Chris, go first.
Okay, so I got a Dotson. This is a Blue Streak. I got a Dotson. This is Smokescreen. And I got a Dotson. This is Barricade. So I went from having one of these molds that I didn't like, which was Prowl, to having four of them literally in 4 days. So I picked up Blue Streak on Saturday and got Barricade on Tuesday, and then came home today and got Smokescreen from the mail.
Did you order Blue Streak site to store?
Yes.
Okay.
Why do you ask?
Well, I mean, if it's starting to show up, maybe it'll show up on the shelf.
Didn't order it. Sold out on the website, so you know, not sure how hopeful I am for these to show up in the store.
Yeah. God, I don't want to go to eBay.
Hopefully there will be, you know, more of these coming up at some point. Because that'd be kind of a shame if that was a one and done. But I have one, and that's what matters.
Yeah, it's exactly what matters.
So I never liked Prowl that much. Like, I decided against getting Barricade because, you know, I was already going to have three of these. I don't like the mold in the first place. Why would I want a fourth one? Well, the fact that I got Barricade probably, you know, says something about my general take at this point. Blue Streak feels a hell of a lot better than Prowl did. A lot of the, like, gummy jointness that I felt with Prowl feels a lot smoother and not tighter as such, but, like, it feels more like it's made of plastic instead of rubber. So like the general tactile experience of it is a lot better. The deco is really slick on it. I could probably do with the shoulder guns being painted silver like the rifle is. I think that would look pretty good. But even as it is, it's not terrible. The thing that bugs me about the shoulder guns, and it's consistent across all of them, is that they don't plug all the way down against the car hood. There's a little bit of a gap between that flared out part and where the actual tab is, and I think the tabs are a little bit too long or the channels are too shallow. I mean, you know, take your pick how you want to interpret it. But yeah, I mean, this is probably the best this mold is going to look as Blue Streak. Even like the deco on the head, it's the same mold as Prowl, but it looks completely different with, you know, the gray on silver and the red crest. Like, it just completely changes the visual identity of it, I guess. It's really good. I did not think I was going to like this much. So next up in the batch is Smokescreen, because that's the one I opened after Blue Streak. And it's also pretty good. It's probably a little bit closer to being Prowl than it is to being Blue Streak in terms of tolerances and such. But overall, it's not bad. The one problem I have is just, I think there's like a burr on the ball joint in the neck, so the head's kind of permanently tilted. There's already a stress mark on the back of the head near the ironically stress relief channel back there, so I don't want to try risking popping the head off to shave that down. So he's just going to have kind of a crooked head for the rest of his life, I guess. Or maybe that will just, you know, wear off with time and I, you know, keep turning the head around. If I just keep spinning his head in a circle, I mean, something's got to give, right?
Oh, yeah. Smokescreen was based on an actual deco of a rally car. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's just weird to me that the Cybertronian version would magically have the same, you know, paint scheme.
Well, it's that whole, like, you know, infinite monkeys at infinite typewriters thing. Eventually, you'll recreate The Simpsons.
Yeah.
That's how that goes, right?
Sure.
Pretty much.
So I talked about this on the show before, but I will confirm the number tampo on the doors, where in the original stock photos posted on Hasbro Pulse and originally on Dengeki Hobby, they had stylized characters that looked like a 3 and an 8. They've replaced that with just the Cybertronic text equivalents of those numbers. So now they don't look like anything.
Great. Yay.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be something hopefully for Toy Hacks to fix.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want necessarily real numbers. I would love it if they would just reproduce the stylized versions from those original stock photos or something, you know, acceptably close to it that won't risk getting, like, you know, a cease and desist or something.
In the chat.
Not that that's probably a problem anyway.
No, in the chat, Blade is saying that Infinite Monkeys will eventually become Optimus Minor, and I support that. Optimus Minor is no laughing matter.
On the plus side with Smokescreen, like, the rifle is still painted and the shoulder guns are bare plastic, but they're like much more the same finish than the silver versus gray on Blue Streak. And also, while I'm thinking of it, so I noticed with the shoulder guns, you know, you take them and you tab the two halves together to make one, like, double-barreled gun or a turret or something. On the inside of that half peg, there's actually, like, little bullets sculpted in, so it looks like an ammo magazine when they're used individually, which I thought was a really nice little detail and a way to kind of, you know, dress up what would otherwise just be the flat inside of a peg.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, like, still so far, Blue Streak's the winner of the bunch. So we'll go on to Barricade. Okay, so all of these dots and molds come with three accessories. So Blue Streak and Smokescreen come with a rifle and the two shoulder guns each. And Barricade comes with the two shoulder guns, which I'm using as pistols here, and the light bar that Prowl has. So that actually leaves Prowl out short one accessory, because I'm pretty sure Prowl just has the rifle and the light bar.
I don't remember.
So all the other three are a better value on a very technical level. But I still am not super into this Barricade, and I mostly got it because it's kind of an example of a Guido art concept turned into a toy again. Rather like why I got the old Legends Seekers, which were very much based on his F-22 Seeker art that he did at one point. So this is based loosely on a fan art design that he did of a G1 Barricade based on the Prowl body type. And apparently Guido was involved to some degree with the design of this toy. I don't know if it was specifically the, like, physical design or if he just meant he was involved with designing the deco for this specific version. But he did tweet at one point that he had some involvement with this after Barricade was officially revealed and he could talk about it. So it uses the Smokescreen head, and it doesn't come off feeling quite as different as I feel like the Prowl versus Blue Streak differences in terms of how the deco affects the way the face and helmet look together. And if you get them side by side, the shades are a little bit off, but, like, the light stripe down the hood and the dark hood kind of mirrors Blue Streak's light hood and dark stripe down the middle, which in an unpleasant way just sort of reinforces the redeco nature of them, where otherwise, like, they're all a little bit different looking, because, like, Prowl has the like, point in the middle and the, you know, where he looks like a spat. The black band around the bumper and everything that comes up to the point. And Smokescreen's completely different too, but Barricade reuses some of Blue Streak's paint applications, so it's a little bit less unique looking, which I could have really done with something a little bit different there. And as far as the way the mold feels, like, some of the joints are a little bit looser on Barricade than any of the other ones, and the feel is just not quite as good. Like, it's different than Prowl in how it doesn't feel good, but it seems like the regular retail versions of this mold just did not quite come up as far as the special versions did.
The shoulders on my Barricade feel way tighter than I don't have Blue Streak, but I do have Smokescreen handy. It feels way tighter than that, but the legs aren't super tight.
Yeah, Smokescreen shoulders are a little bit loose. So that might be just, like, a thing with the plastic colors.
Could be, yeah. Because
the plastic colors will affect the fit sometimes, even if just in a minor way. But yeah, I have all four of these stupid dots and molds, and if you took the best parts of each one, made one Dotson body transformer out of them, it would be fantastic. As it is, there's three pretty good uses of this, and also Prowl exists.
I was going to say, Prowl isn't in that group, is he?
No. Okay, so in addition to that, I also got Power Dasher Chromar, which, of course, is a recolor and slight retool of Six Gun. Much like with Zatar, the tolerances on this feel better than the Six Guns I have, a little bit. And also, like, the sculpting on the Power Dasher head is really sharp. It's got a ton of paint on it, and all the paint details came out really clean. Your mileage may vary, of course, but, like, on this one, at least, they did really well on it. It still looks out of place as a Transformers head, honestly, because, like, the style is completely different than any other Transformers head we're used to seeing, but they did a really good job getting the sculpt and the deco on that.
It's more Machine Robo or GoBots.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
it really is. But otherwise, you know, it's a slick redeco of Six Gun. It almost inverts the colors, except that it's silver instead of white now. But like, it'll look really good with G2 Sideswipe because it matches up pretty closely with what that's got going on color wise. And you know, Sideswipe always needs more guns, especially when he's G2.
Yeah.
But I mean, like. The joints feel tighter and smoother on this. Everything holds together a little bit better than the Six Guns. So, you know, that's 2 for 2 so far. And I would imagine the third Power Dasher coming in that 3-pack probably will end up being the same way relative to COG.
The one I have, yes.
In the chat, Blade again is asking if we got shipping notices from Pulse on the figures. No.
I got a shipping notice for Smokescreen the day it arrived. I'm still waiting for shipping notices for Chromar and also for Hotshot.
Yeah, it's worth here. It's worth signing up for FedEx Delivery Manager because you get notifications like as soon as something a label's created. So I've been getting updates on that and then having to go back to Pulse to figure out what might have shipped.
Well, I mean, in my case, it actually shows the Hasbro. Well, I guess it's showing it for you, too.
It's showing that it's from Hasbro. I just don't know what.
Does it show your Hasbro Pulse order number on the FedEx info?
Does it? I've never noticed.
Might have. I mean, you would still have to go look it up unless you just, like, you know what's supposed to be shipping and memorize those numbers. But, you know, only a total weirdo would do that. So, anyway, I have Hotshot. The colors look really nice in person. Like, half the reason I got this was because the deco looks really good. I've always liked Cybertron Hotshot's colors. The other half, of course, being that it's the Hound mold. And the Hound mold is still great, even, you know, 4 waves into the line now. It's still one of the best things Siege has given us, especially at the deluxe price point. And, like, I had problems with Hound having the black parts, which are unpaintable plastic, like nylon. On Hound, those were pretty bendy and gummy, and they didn't, like, want to hold together super well. But things are tighter on Hotshot, and everything just kind of works a little bit better. It took me a little bit to remember how to get the arms arranged underneath the Jeep, because it's been a while since I transformed Hound. But, you know, it's kind of hard to transform Hound when he's consumed all existence around him. Kind of, you know, it's hard to reach in through all that and get to the toy in the middle. And the new Hotshot head sculpt looks really good. It's very similar to the Cybertron Defense toy, but, like, more detailed in the areas where it's supposed to have the detailing. So, like, the forehead piece still kind of looks like it used to be a visor, like it was intended to on the Cybertron toy, but it's a lot more, you know, panel lined and stuff. Now it looks more like armor and not like something that originally would have been, you know, a see-through component. I'm possibly explaining that badly, but like they kind of just took that same design and turned it up to 12.
Gotcha.
Just real quick. The FedEx Delivery Manager email does include, I think it's listed under invoice, so that is the order number from Hasbro. So, yes, thank you.
Yeah, so that makes it easier to at least puzzle out what's been shipped to you. But, of course, if you keep track of the release dates, like, you know, you basically narrow it down to, like, 1 of 3 things.
Yeah.
So you'll let me know when Unicron ships, right?
I sure will.
I'm sure the whole freaking world will let you know when Unicron ships, Diecast. Don't you worry about that.
Do you think they'll ship that with FedEx?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, if it's coming through Pulse, they use FedEx for everything else.
Yeah, but do they have to ship 19-pound things that much?
What do they do with the barge? I can ask a friend of mine. I'll ask a friend of mine who's got one. Hopefully, Diecast will get his first. I guess he deserves it.
I hope he gets it last.
Well, I am. If they go to the Hasbro Pulse warehouse, I am very close to that. So, but
that's a good point.
I think the barge went to New York and shipped out of New York, which makes sense because if it came on a barge.
Well, just a reminder, Diecast, I still live, but the eToys warehouse for KB Toys is 7 miles up the road.
Well, that's a lot of help now, isn't it, Don?
Well, I know, but there's a parallel. I ordered Armada Unicron from that warehouse, and I live 7 miles away. It took a week to get here because it went 3 hours north to Roanoke, 3 hours back, another 2 hours back down to Greensboro, and then back up to me a week later.
Well, that wasn't what it was supposed to do. That was a screw up.
That doesn't happen to me.
I'm just saying with that last Unicron, that's what happened. So anything can happen now.
Yeah, I'm with Diecast. Anything from Pulse that ships, I get within 24 hours because I'm not as close, but I'm close too. So
one thing I like with Hot Shots Deco it's not something you probably think about as much with Hound because it's not such a contrast. Like almost all of the red disappears into the vehicle mode because of how it transforms. So you get like a pretty solid blue Jeep, just with some black surfaces for the like the grill and then the side panels that are made out of the feet. But like it's, you know, pretty uniformly colored once it's transformed. So, you know, you don't have this like patchwork red and blue thing going on. You know, both modes look really good. Obviously, the prerequisite there is that you kind of have to already like the Cybertron Hotshot colors, but you should because they're nice.
Yeah, they are.
It's a very nice shade of blue. And anyway, Hound is a great mold. Just buy it on that basis alone. Stop complaining about things.
Yeah, I guess I'll chime in because Chris reminded me I needed to share my comment on the show. You know, Transformers literally started out as repaints. Like repaints and retools are fundamental to the core of Transformers. I at first wasn't crazy about just from photos, you know, Hotshot from Hound, but I'll be honest with you, in hand, I like it a lot. And you know, what it used to be before we got all of these slavish G1 reinterpretations, you know, like. You always wondered, hey, what's this toy going to be repainted into? You know, or maybe they'll do a retool. That would be really cool. You know, what these repaints
and
did.
Retools have gotten a lot more common too than they used to be.
Yeah, I think the pre-tool thing that they do has really sort of screwed things up in a lot of ways because we've become spoiled by it. Now, that's why people are calling this lazy. You know, it used to be like the idea of repainting something really expanded what Transformers was. Like, going back to like the Energon Megatron. You know, obviously this is going to be Galvatron. We get the other first. It was about making the pie bigger, not making the pie smaller. But when all you do is slavish G1, you know, homages or, you know, redos, you kind of, you know, shrink the pie. And I think that, you know, Hotshot really, to me, adds to Transformers instead of, you know, just leaves it like it is. So I'm actually really pleased with it.
I mean, think back to Armada also. Like, yes. We got Hotshot repainted basically as Hot Rod, just, you know, under a different name, still being Hotshot. And we were going to get that same toy redecoed again in Universe as Smokescreen until the assortment got canceled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. It is exactly in the spirit of what Transformers has been for the majority of its life.
Yeah. While it wasn't a repaint, it was an original toy. For God's sakes, they made Prowl an owl.
You know, I was thinking it's a shame we got two Prowls in Beast Wars. They should have been dachshunds.
Oh boy,
that'd have been funny.
Okay, so Transformers wise, that's all I got, and I have two quick off-topic things. So while I was visiting with Hey Mickey, we went to McKay's, you know, as one does, and I got a Star Trek Interspace Ferengi Marauder.
Ooh,
nice.
Ooh. It was $10, which was a little bit more than I wanted to pay for it, but part of that price I figure is denying Hey Mickey the opportunity to have this, and that's invaluable.
It is, really is.
So I have that now. And also, thanks to Hey Mickey, who picked one of these up for me while they were sitting around all over the place, Star Trek, the customizable card game from Ollie's.
Oh, nice.
I've yet to open a single pack of those.
Well, the shrink wrap's still on this one, so obviously me too.
Yeah.
But I'll get around to it.
I've had mine for months. I
wish they had those around here. I cannot find those at Nolly's here.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think
that was mine.
Mine had them for a
Of course, I used to have a couple boxes of those cards sitting around forever that I never used or played. So, you know, I'm not quite even sure why I'm wishing for that.
You know, when I bought it, the cashier said, I saw these. And she said, I wondered who in the hell would buy any of these. I'm like, So I'll go. I don't really normally like talking about off-topic stuff, but I was at McKay's this weekend and I got a bunch of Star Trek figures. Not that big of a deal. But
well, I care.
Do you not see him on Twitter?
I mean, I've been away for two days.
I got an Edith Keeler. I got a Tholian Webb Kirk. Ooh. I got a Galdicott, and ooh, I think there's another one. I can't remember what it was, but
Trials and Tribulations Cisco.
Yes, I got another one of those. I'm like, yeah, that, I got it. Thank you. I got a second one.
I did see your Twitter. Yeah.
Yes. But my favorite thing though I got was a dinner tray or lunch tray, one of those metal ones that used to have in the '80s. I guess this was '70s. It was a Star Trek the Motion Picture lunch tray.
Ah, nice.
That made me so happy to find that. It was $6.
Wow.
I know those still happened as late as '85 because I used to have a real Ghostbusters one.
I have a Masters of the Universe one that I don't think it's my original one as a kid, but I had the same one as a kid. So yeah, that was pretty awesome. And also really off topic, I pulled a Pete Alonso 1 of 10 red parallel from Bowman Platinum. So it's my first one of something else. It wasn't 1 of 1. I was happy with that. Okay. Especially considering he broke the home run rookie record. So, what else did I get? So a bunch of stuff Chris got. I had Impactor last week, but I hadn't really played around with him. I like it. It's okay. I finally opened up my refractor set, and oh my god, what a difference just the extra bits make. It looks amazing.
Isn't it great?
It's amazing, yeah. It's beautiful. I really, really love that. It really brings that set alive. Not that it was bad before, but the extra bits really just make it pretty fantastic. I got Sound Blaster, new Sound Wave. It's okay. Yeah, it is what it is.
Any irregularities with the double chest door? Like any problems from the retooling?
It opens just fine. I haven't.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm using no problems with that. But I think my favorite. Go ahead.
Have you tried putting Ravaging Laserbeak in it?
I have not. I don't know where they are. I haven't.
I only ask because on Soundwave the fit for the one cassette you could put in was really tight, and it made the intended deployer feature of the hover sled mode thing not actually work. I was wondering if they had tweaked the tolerances to improve that on this one. So find your Ravaging Laser Beak and do science for us.
I will. My favorite thing I got though, I was surprised, was Deluxe Mirage. I love Mirage first and foremost. And for whatever reason, I love the Classics toy, but the Classics toy was all stylized and it was, you know, I talk about sort of kind of slavish designs. This is not, you know, it's not just G1, you know, Mirage in modern technology. It's kind of redesigned, but I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. It's for the constraints that they're working with. And again, not being a true Earth car, I think it's as good an interpretation of Mirage as they could have done in Siege. I actually really dig it.
I don't like the front wheels just sticking off the back of the legs.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That's the thing. That's the crazy part about it. But you know, if I'm not holding it or looking at it from behind, it's fine. But it is pretty silly.
Oh, just like a Bandai toy.
Yeah. Kinda. But yeah, I like it a lot. I don't know if I love Classics Mirage. I don't know that I like it better than that, but I really do like it. I think it's my favorite. It's probably my favorite of the Autobot cars from Siege so far.
I mean, just for a start, I like Sideswipe better. I'm not trying to talk you out of your opinion, yeah. But like, you know, I wouldn't put Mirage up that high.
I don't know. I don't know. I really like it. I prefer Mirage to Sideswipe in general. I mean, Sideswipe's fine. It just didn't do anything for me particularly, even the G2 version, because it's not quite G2 enough. I mean,
Diesel
maybe
green. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess when I say cars, I'm discounting Hound, and in a way, I guess I'm discounting Ironhide, because they're kind of cars, but they're not. I like those toys, but I just really like it. I think the Deco looks great, or at least in the sense that it really feels like I could live without the sort of translucent plastic, but otherwise yeah, no I really kidding. Like it. Yeah.
If it didn't have that clear plastic, I'd probably like it more. I mean, I don't hate it by any means. I'm not super impressed though, and the clear plastic just worries me.
Crunson saying it's his spoiler's the most non-aerodynamic spoiler ever. I totally agree. In Cybertron,
it's Cybertronian.
Yeah, Cybertron. I don't think it matters that much. I mean,
well, sometimes Cybertron has an atmosphere.
It depends on the episode
and the continuity.
Yeah. So,
because in Armada, Cybertron specifically didn't have an atmosphere.
It should. I mean, it should have an atmosphere of some sort. But
then it grew one by Energon, right?
Well, you know, because they were going to be having human visitors a lot.
Yeah. 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 But that's what I got this week. Who wants to go next? Don.
I got Blue Streak through Walmart's Pick Up Today program, and I've got Chrome War today, and that's it.
Don is tired. Hey, Don, do we need to let you go so you can go to bed?
No, I'm fine. It's been nothing between here and Virginia Beach. All I found that wasn't a Transformer was I picked up the Lightning Collection Pink Ranger because I figured someone would need it, so I just bought it just in case someone needed it. And the Black Series Mandalorian, because that's an interesting take on the Boba Fett armor. But other than that, there's been nothing new except what I've ordered through online purchases. And that's it. I mean, it's just been completely bare for the last 3 or 4 weeks here.
Hey, Don.
I actually saw Mirage, Impactor, and Barricade in a Walmart today.
Yeah, I saw them last week, I think.
I haven't been to my local Walmart since I've been on vacation and out of town.
Why not? That's the first place I go when I'm on vacation.
Well, it's also because it's a 13-mile drive into town, and I really didn't want to go. It's 13 miles one way to go into town, and I really haven't been that way on vacation because I've been staying home. Yeah. And
how far is it the other way, Don?
It's pretty close all the ways from all the way here to there. It's 13 miles, no matter what way
Don
you
has
take.
One road that goes through town anyway. So
that's it exactly.
So, hey, yeah,
Don, no matter what one road I take, it's the same mile.
And there's one person who has one job to plow that road.
So, and the funny thing is, Chris, having been to both of your hometowns, Don's is much bigger.
That makes me sad.
It's true.
Yes, but Chris.
Well, that's true. Don used to have a Toys R Us, didn't he?
Yeah.
I never had a Toys R Us in my town.
No. Don says that his town is tiny, and it is very, in a way.
Don should come drive through here once and, you know, find out how good he has it.
Yes. Hey, Don, real quick, speaking of you looking exhausted, I didn't ask you about this last week. Did you see what the episode title was 2 weeks ago?
You asked Tony Brown. I don't remember.
Radio Free Cybertron 641. We have to wrap up quick. I need to go to bed.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Sorry, guys. It was just... where I work has been extremely busy lately, so it's, you know, it's nothing like what Matt has to do or what Brian has to do. I know Matt pulls in some long hours. It's just I did work 2 12-hour days, and I was just gone at that point.
Okay,
Go ahead, Don.
No, the only thing I picked up that I'll probably be taking back is I got Lightning Collection Goldar, and I thought about keeping him, and it's just. I'm cherry picking Lightning Collection as anyway, and I really don't care about the monsters.
It looks good. Great. Really good.
Yeah, figure. I know. Oh, it's with TFCon coming up and
take
not
the,
knowing what
the take the Pink Ranger back. That's the one Lightning Collection figure no one needs.
Well, see, I think I was just trying to help somebody out. I figured someone would need her, and I just picked it up thinking someone might need her, but no one apparently does. Now, I like the way the Goldar looks, but. I'm just really only getting like the eclectic Rangers, you know, whatever Tommy's forms are, and you know, just a few here and there.
So what you're saying is you're the problem?
Ha.
Yeah.
No, I have Doggy. And I have Dino Charge Red. It's just, you know, I thought I would want Goldar, but going into TFCon, if I knew what the exclusive were, it's like, well, I don't want that, don't want that, don't want that, then I would keep, you know, that. But, you know, anyway, that's all I got.
Okay, cool. Let's see here. What else? Hey, Don, real quick before we go. You like Arby's?
Love it.
Okay.
I had coupons when they expired.
Okay, so when I see you on...
I hate when my fast food coupons expire before I can use them, and I'm not even making fun of Don. I legitimately hate that.
I'm going somewhere with this. When I see you at TFCon, I got one of those cards where it's like giving you a free meal for screwing something up. I'll give that to you so you can go. But
I don't know. No, it's fine. I appreciate it. Now, as long as they got the 2 for $5 happy hour, I'm good.
You get a free meal, Don. It's Donomics. And I will never go back. Not because I had a bad experience. I just don't eat Arby's. But even though I like it, I just never go. But I've been trying to talk to Kim and back out gracefully from going to TFCon, to be honest. And she will have nothing of it. She really wants to go. But I'll be honest, my interest in going has kind of waned quite a bit lately. I think after Unicron, I just like don't want to spend any money on anything Transformers related.
I mean,
that's understandable.
Yeah,
that's, except the podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's sort of different, though. He's not spending money on Transformers doing it. He's spending money on his social life.
This is true, too.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm not making fun of Brian. These are things he said himself in, like, complete sincerity in the past.
Well, yeah. Well, and now that I have kids, it's just all gone out in the wash.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, my interest in going is just honestly really kind of waned, and I just... kind of don't want to go, but I'm going to go.
So Crunson makes an interesting point in the chat. But Kilby, Arby's has the meats.
This is true. My favorite thing at Arby's, though, is their spicy 3-pepper sauce. But, you know, I don't necessarily need to go to Arby's just to get that. Though I probably would take a shot of it if I had some in a glass right now. It's delicious.
I will say on the way back from Virginia Beach, we stopped and we saw a Quiznos. And we haven't been to a Quiznos.
What's a Quiznos?
Yeah, because our only one closed a couple of years ago, and so I splurged and got the 12-inch steak and not the steak, the their steak and cheese with the peppercorn sauce. I love Quiznos, but you've got to have a coupon or you can't afford them. I just did this because it was on vacation.
On our first date, Kim and I went to Quiznos.
John really should be here for this episode of Get the Skinny.
I know.
Yeah, I know, right?
real quick, in the chat, Spider Bob had mentioned, you know, if I didn't go to TFCon, it'd save money for Garbage Pail Kids. And on the stream here on the video, I just happened to show, you know, the stack of garbage. Actually,
think of how many baseball cards you could buy if you don't go to TFCon, Brian.
You know, I've had really good luck lately with pulling stuff out of packs of baseball cards. I'm really trying to just give up on baseball cards.
Maybe, Kilby, maybe Kim would like to go to TFCon by herself.
That'd be great.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, and here's the stack of the current Garbage Pail Kid series.
Come on, we got Unicron to talk about.
This is
talking about Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah, this is like...
Some of us don't want to talk about Unicron right now, Diecast.
What'd you say, 4.5 inches?
We just done 5 minutes on fast food in the middle of the actual show. I think that... you know, kind of indicates how we feel about transitioning to the Unicron topic. Also, only half of us have said what we got this week.
I know. The rest of us really don't want you to get your time to talk about Unicron because it gives us pleasure.
Yes, I guess. And remember, I will be bringing Matt's lions to TFCon. There's nothing in the...
You still believe it? Those?
Yes. I'll believe it when I see it.
And there's nothing in the rule book that says I can't throw them at you first before they bounce off your head and are delivered to Matt.
There's also nothing in the rule book that says a dog can't play baseball.
Finally get them to him. I mean, that's just really how it works. Would.
But if they're broke up against Diecast's head, Matt, would that be a problem?
Will you scream "Go Lions" when you throw them? Because that's the only way you're allowed to throw them.
No, I'll throw them and say "Vehicle Voltron is better" because it is.
Action figure expert just said, just to let you know, the McRib is coming back. The McRib is back.
Yes. Yeah. Vehicle Voltron would probably hurt more. There's, you know, more of them.
Yeah. So, for those people who don't remember, Don at TFCon Chicago a few years ago, you know, all this wonderful food, and Don wanted a McRib. So we all went to a nice restaurant and ate, and Don went and got a McRib. And then he came in to the restaurant and sat down with us, like, that looks really good. It looks really good. Man, if that pizza looks really good.
I just had pizza the night before, and I really wasn't in a pizza mood, or so I thought. That's why I went to get the McRib.
You had pizza the whole weekend. You had the leftovers sitting on top of the dresser.
Kim did ask me. She said, when I meet Don's girlfriend, can I tell her about Don eating on that pizza that he didn't refrigerate for a whole week? And I'm like,
Weekend.
I'm like, no, don't tell her about that. I'll tell her.
Don, was there a refrigerator in your hotel room in Virginia Beach?
Oh.
Yeah, but we didn't use it. Everything we had was all the snacks we brought with us was all nothing needed to be refrigerated.
Yeah, but you also thought that pizza didn't need to be refrigerated, Don. I'm not sure how much I trust your assessment here.
I was running on convention adrenaline. And as everybody knows, when it comes to conventions, I get a little intense from time to time.
You're a little intense anyway, Don.
Convention adrenaline is a good food disinfectant.
I was about to say it's a lucky thing that your convention hyper mode kills bacteria, Don.
I'm sure the shrimp was fine after 3 days. I'm sure it was.
Oh, God.
Oh man, yeah. I saw a cup of, like, one of the Walmart I went to, they were selling cups of popcorn and shrimp in their hot box up by the registers. And it's just like, who would ever?
No.
Yeah. No. Okay, we can move on now.
Who's
next?
Jason, do you have anything?
Yeah. Speaking of a cup of popcorn shrimp, no, not really. I did probably the closest thing to Donanomics I've ever done so far. I had a price alert set for Siege Shockwave because I figured eventually it's going to come down in price because he's been in two waves, and every time I go into the store, he's still sitting on the shelves. So I knew it was a matter of time. He did drop the $30 on Amazon, and I had a $10 gift card. So there you go. There's some Donanomics for
nice.
You.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah. And that's good, too, because holy crap, did I get a loose version of this toy.
Aww. You have your floppy shockwave.
Brian, that's not the show title.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, yes, I got a floppy shockwave. Like I said, the only reason this is holding together right now is because of four coats of nail polish. And even then, it's still not that tight.
You use nail polish.
That's a good deal.
Instead of furniture polish. Nail polish.
Sorry. Future polish.
Were you just putting it in and out a lot and you loosened it up or because that happens?
It certainly happens. but no, from the first time I got to get, like, I couldn't even do this without this just falling right off. So, but yeah, I mean, for $20, I'm not going to complain too much. But if I paid full price for this, now, granted, I'm pretty sure I have a very bad copy of the toy. But cool boy, $20, I'm okay with. But I mean, otherwise, I mean, he does look great. He was one of the figures I wanted the most, but I wasn't going to pay, you know, $50 for him, even though I do kind of like the idea of the fact that he's just got like this drone that follows him around and blows people up for him. I think that's pretty cool.
And then you can have extra arms.
Yes, that too.
I mean, he is really a Voyager, so Voyager price point makes sense for him.
Yeah, and since I'll be getting the Voyager, Starscream, and Earthbound, it'll look good together and all that. So
Earthbound, something different.
Earthbound's a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Well, Jason, didn't you get Galactic Man, the version?
Nope.
That's a shame.
No, that would have been more money. Sorry, not doing that. and I don't have any off-topic stuff, but there's been a lot of Power Rangers on in my house lately because my son just finished Dino Charge tonight before he went to bed.
Oh, so
it's on the Super Dino Charge now.
You might have to explain the ending a little bit.
Cross that bridge when you get there.
Maybe he'll find Ninja Steel again because he started with that and then he went to Dino Charge because dinosaurs, obviously. But
well, and just good taste in general.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, that was it for me.
Rob.
Okay. I also got Power Dasher Cromar, which I agree with Chris has slightly better tolerances than my the six gun did, and just really does look nice. I'm happy with that. And also many thanks to Paul Andrews, who sent me the Alpha Strike Counterforce set with G2 Sideswipe and Slam Dance.
Oh, nice. So,
yeah, that is, I really like that. That G2 Sideswipe looks really good. I'm torn between getting the Toy Hack stickers for it or not, because I just somehow just the black on red or red on black side panels work better than the other side swipes black on red side panels did. I can't quite explain why. It just looks cleaner and sharper to me than the original toy. It just looks really good. I like the silver-backed clear red windshield. That is a really nice effect. I lucked out and got one of the slam dances that does not have any kind of problems that require surgery. So that is a pretty nice figure as well. So yeah, I am just really happy to have those, and thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate
it. Awesome.
Did you have flywheels before?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I think actually, Matt, now that you mention it, slam dance fits a little bit better. It fits together a little bit better as a tank than flywheels did.
Matt?
Yeah. So I also got Power Dasher Chromar. So I have all three now, and I love them all. The Hasbro, more stuff like this, please. Like this keeps me excited about the brand. More off the wall stuff like this and Rainmakers.
And Rainmakers.
Love the Rainmakers. Hate Coneheads. That mold, but I love the Rainmakers.
Coneheads.
Well, we'll get those in Earthrise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we'll get Coneheads. I'm hoping.
Everyone's saying that, yeah.
Yeah. And Entertainment Earth shipped out their Refractor, so I finally have my pretty version of Reflector now. And Kremzeek on there makes me happy. Good stuff. And I got my new best friend, Omega
Supreme. Oh, nice.
Oh, nice.
Love him. Give him hugs. He's great.
Me and Hey Mickey were giving him something rather different than hugs.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, check out their Twitter feed.
Don't look at his Twitter.
Yeah, people say my Twitter's bad. Jeez.
Yeah, that was
Does Twitter have parental controls?
I've always said me and Hey Mickey shouldn't be allowed to hang out together, and we provided evidence to that effect this weekend.
I actually approve of the post. I just want to say that.
I actively went to the RSE Twitter account just to make sure you didn't retweet it. I didn't think you would have, but I wanted to be safe.
Oh, man, I should have did that.
I will revoke your access.
I'm joking. So that's it for me this week. Brian, you'll be happy to know I have no Power Rangers or Marvel Legends to talk about.
You got all the Marvel Legends last week, though. It was amazing.
Yes.
I was so impressed. I was genuinely impressed.
I was alone.
Which Devastator do you want to put Omega up against? The Combatant Wars one or one of the other ones?
Yeah, they scale pretty well together. So yeah.
Based on the picture I just saw on Chris's Twitter, they don't stand a chance.
Okay. Let's diecast.
Oh, good. I think I'm killing Jason.
Yep.
Well, I found out the reason I couldn't move my headset. My mask is laying on the cord.
Oh, there you go.
It's a very subtle sort of massy attack.
It's a subtle massy attack.
All right.
Killing you softly.
So I got Generation Selects Hotshot, Chromar, who I nicknamed Eric.
Ha! Why?
Chromar.
Eric Chromar.
Oh, because Crowbar, yeah.
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 And then
I still think of him first by his actual name, not his Rob Springer name.
I like the Rob Springer name.
Then I also got Smokescreen, and I got Blue Streak, and I got New Soundwave. Or whatever you're going to call
Sound Blaster.
Sound Blaster. And the other thing I got is the upscaled MFT Ultra Magnus.
Hmm.
And here's the regular, and here's the upscale. It's a pretty significant upscale. It's different in a couple ways. There's some places where it lacks paint apps, but they added in the chest gimmick to where the matrix is inside, so you can close it off. You can open it up, I should say, and there's the Matrix, and the Matrix comes out, which the original MFT does not. The original MFT has clear windshield, red translucent windshields, where the MFT knockoff does not. And on the back, they gave him a red bumper, and the other one, I forgot the name, Magic Square, I'm sorry, that's it. Magic Square had the chrome bumper. So there are minor differences. Magic Square also had the light piping for the eyes, to where MFT actually painted the eyes and they look pretty good.
It sounds like it's a knockoff in the traditional sense, being like a lower quality version of another toy made to cash in on somebody else's work.
It's not a lower quality. Their quality is. It's pretty good, but it has the chest gimmick, which the Magic Square does not.
But it doesn't have windows.
It doesn't have light piping.
So the Magic Square one doesn't have the Magic Square one doesn't have the Matrix thing, but the knockoff does.
Yes.
So believe it or not, me and Haymicky went to the antique mall over the Georgia line yesterday. We saw that very knockoff Ultra Magnus there. I remember specifically because it had the chest open and the little Matrix inside, and we couldn't figure out whose bootleg Ultra Magnus that was. But like, there was one at the antique mall for some reason.
How much were they charging for it?
I don't remember.
Okay. But yeah, I really like it. And then I also got the MFT knockoff blaster, which is also pretty nice.
Does he not have legs?
I didn't compare it as much as I did Ultra Magnus, but he looks pretty nice. I'm happy with him. The MFTs always have really good tolerances and feel really nice, so they're not like cheap knockoffs. They are knockoffs.
Took away Ultra Magnus's windows.
Isn't MechFanToys the ones who do the Diaclone reboot bootlegs?
Yes.
Yeah. Diaclone reboot legs, if you will.
Mm. Okay.
Also, I just wanted to bring up the knockoff Ultra Magnus you were showing. You said it's an upscale. At least on camera, they look very similar in size.
Oh, that's not unusual with the MechFanToys stuff. Like, they are a little bit.
I see it now.
Most notably, that happened with Shockwave, where I think it was the Iron Factory one MFT bootlegged and called it oversized, but it was like only maybe 10% bigger at most.
Mm. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, Ultra Magnus feels, I mean, once you get in handy, it definitely feels a lot bigger. It's not like that, the one Chris was just talking about, where it was like very minuscule. But I think that's, oh no, I did get some more MFT knockoffs.
Of course.
I mean, we're not surprised.
I also got the Inferno. Magic Square hoist. Inferno and Grapple, I mean. Not hoist. So they're pretty nice. I didn't open them up out of the box. Let's see. The other thing I got, which is kind of interesting, I got the clear New Age Ironhide.
Don will love it.
Which looks really good. Hmm. I also got Ratchet. Well, Ratchet is white, so they did a clear, and there actually is no clear white. It's just
it's clear.
So it's not. Hmm. I mean, Ironhide is definitely the better clear figure to have. Ratchet's just clear.
Yeah, I'm thinking that too.
Yeah, Ratchet reminds me of the Car Robot Brothers.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
What?
I just thought it looked cool, but
I don't know because I'm only the New Age are kind of smaller, so I'm only doing the clears in those. So,
Bumblebee85 has toys in the chat asking if anybody had gotten the coins from the Canadian Mint.
I've got them both.
Yeah, Brian.
I got the cheap one. I didn't get the baller.
I got the other one thinking that Unicron wasn't going to be funded.
Yeah. And then I also got the Generation Toys ambulance.
Boulance.
Boulance, which has a really nice like camper that it comes with that turn into the feet of Defensor, which is really cool. I really like how they did that. So that's a really cool toy. And it's been taking a while for these, but I finally have four. Now I just need Hotshot or Hotspot, and I'll finally have my Defensor.
Yeah, that was announced.
Another Defensor.
Yeah.
Defensor. Yeah. But do I have a third party Defensor that's like.
You have the Weijing one.
Yeah. Well, didn't you get Guardia?
No. No, I'm getting the upscale one, and I'm still waiting on. I'm still waiting on Hotspot for that too. So I will have the upscaled knockoff of the Make Toys, and then I'll also have the Generation Toys. And then I'll probably cool it until Fans Toys does Defensor.
It's only a matter of time.
It's you know, coming.
Hey, so I'm gonna change around things a little bit. Since I think the big topic, of course, this week is going to be Unicron. I want to wrap the show.
Well,
with that.
I think we can wrap the show up right now. Yeah. So
we're good for this week.
So real quick, I don't know. Other than show off some of the photos, who took these? Jay.
It's not disclosed who took them, but okay. I assume it was Jay. Okay. Yeah.
So he was at the unboxing event on Thursday, and they got to keep the toys. So,
yep. Which is a first,
yeah,
because like they've done these unboxing. They did it for the first wave of Siege, but of course they couldn't keep the toys at that point. But as a surprise, this time they said, "Yeah, you can take them home with you."
Take them home with you, yeah. So go to tformers.com. You can check that out. I know some people aren't pleased with the white or cream color on Apeface, but you know,
although that's not new to the unboxing event, because there was event photos in Japan that showed that, and then the Dengeki posted stock photos that reinforced the whole thing. And but in the T-Formers photos and also a few of the other ones I've seen, like, it proves what I was thinking, which, as long as you're lighting the toy decently, the translucent effect of that white plastic can be pretty well visually minimized.
Good.
So it doesn't have to look terrible. Just, you know, have good lighting in your displays.
But yeah, so real quick, just want to get this out there. tfradio.net/Amazon. Please. We would love you forever. It'd be the best thing. Best thing. There's a lot of stuff up now. All the War for Cybertron. No, Earthrise stuff. God. It's War for Cybertron.
Well, yeah, Earthrise. It is War for Cybertron. War for Cybertron, Earthbound.
Yeah, Earthbound. tfradio.net/Amazon helps us out. Doesn't cost you a cent more, and it helps cover the cost of the show. Okay.
I've heard rumors that the third chapter in the War for Cybertron trilogy will be War for Cybertron Mother 3.
That would be wonderful. I don't.
Or having like space above and beyond.
No, Don, that doesn't follow the pattern of the joke.
I'm sorry.
Don's been having trouble with that all day.
Yeah. Don was more of a Genesis kid. Or Genesis adult, I guess, at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, so Unicron. Unicron funded, so Diecast is very happy.
Oh, yes.
Diecast has...
credit cards have been charged, so Diecast is very sad.
Mine has been charged. Diecast has two coming.
Oh, no.
You know... before
the face.
In the last few days when I was questioned whether or not it really was going to, you know, hit, I considered the same thing. I know, I considered it, and then I'm like, hell no, but I considered it. So there's the practical reason was hell no with the cost, but also the fact that even having two would make it less special, you know. So even though it's one of the few toys or characters I'd like to display in both modes, most, you know, I have a strong preference for, but like that and say like Optimus Prime, I typically, you know, would like to have two versions of, but hell no. but yeah, so yeah, Unicron funded. So we don't have an official count. Yes, Diecast, I shared that news this morning.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was at work. And
yeah, I was just working. I was at work too, but I still shared it. So we don't have an official count. In fact, they took the count. What count we had off the site today. At last check, we think it is at what, 140%, 140.75% of...
approximately, yeah.
Yeah, of the total, which would mean like 11,200, something like that.
I would have which never guessed.
Pretty amazing.
No. Yeah, that is absolutely amazing. To think it beat the sail barge, it's just kind of... blows my mind.
Yeah, because the sail barge only went a few hundred over its minimum, right?
Yeah. So, my main theory around this is, yes, Star Wars is more popular, but Hasbro Transformers is a Hasbro property. They own it outright, mostly, not counting the relationship with Takara. It's co-owned, but in the States, it's owned by Hasbro. They had this big push at New York Comic Con. They had influencers sharing out photos and stuff. And honestly, if the sail barge is like from the crappiest of the original three movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think the sail barge doesn't have the cachet of like an AT-AT or a Millennium Falcon or something like that. So.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I honestly,
they already did a giant Millennium Falcon, yes. So they couldn't do that again.
Yeah. So they could, but
yeah, they could.
Yeah. I can absolutely buy it beating the barge when I think about it. But it's just really weird that we don't like the fact that the counter they took down the count when it hit 8530 something. It's not pronounced that at Don. So,
but that was enough to beat you.
Oh yeah. Oh yes, I lost the bet. So Diecast will be getting a Kilby custom Turtler as Unicron.
I thought you said you were going to send it to a customizer.
I didn't explicitly say that was what was going to happen. I needed to figure it out or figure out who it was going to be. And I think who it's going to be is me.
No, I think it was in the spirit of the bet that it would be professionally customized.
I would do it professionally. I'm a professional.
Yes, it would be something that Diecast wanted to keep.
Yeah. No, nobody ever said that.
Again, you're don't violating be a sore loser, Brian.
I'm not being a sore loser. I'm spending a lot of money on this, so I'm not being a sore loser. It's funnier this way. Ha ha, laugh.
Not the Diecast, it's not.
No, that's the point. It's pooping in his cornflakes.
Well, I was up all day Saturday going, come on, come on, Unicron. I it was literally jumping up like 5-6 backers at a time. And as I was refreshing the page,
we'll find the best customizer that we can for $20.
Well, you know, Brian, there's several good customers out there. Hey, Mickey, Mike could do some work with that.
No, it's too expensive for him.
Oh, it is? Okay.
So I don't think Mickey would appreciate you volunteering his time like that, Don.
Yes.
No,
that was more of a testament to his skill.
Yeah, but like $20. So, Don, if you want to do it, it's an easy, quick $20.
I failed high school shop class and don't want to do Gunpla models. Do you really want to entrust me with sharp instruments?
It's going to live with Diecast, so yes.
I think one of the best customizers out there that I've seen recently is Grimlock Gimmis. Am I saying that?
Yeah, at Chrome Tyranno.
Well, it's probably going to be at Kilby.
He'll be at TFCon, just saying, if you want to get in touch with him, Brian, and maybe inquire about that.
I don't.
He is actually one of the best I've seen recently.
I may be awesome at it. We'll find out.
Well, I saw that Dinobot Springer of his. It looks really good.
Oh, yes.
We'll see that Turtler is Unicron from me, and you'll just never think about any other customizer again.
So anyway, Unicron funded.
Unicron funded.
I have to say, I was surprised. I honestly didn't think it was going to get anywhere near 11,000 backers. Congratulations to everybody that wanted this thing.
I didn't think it was going to get 8,250.
I thought it was going to get 9,000.
I mean, honestly, when we recorded last week, I'm pretty sure I went on record saying, like, you know, it probably hit 7,300 and then, you know, stall out. It hit 7,300 that night.
Yeah.
Kept going and going.
Yeah, so I mean, I was pretty, you know, gloomy on this thing's prospects of actually happening, but I was wrong. You know, apparently a lot of people wanted this thing. So I imagine a lot of people were just saving pinching pennies until the very last moment to make sure they could pay for this thing.
I also have the theory that, like, the overseas sources accounted for, like, the 1,500 jump toward the end of August and then the 1,000 we saw a week or so ago.
Yeah.
But none of the, like, Big Bad Toy Store or TF source. Like, none of those probably got counted until the actual end, including the extension period.
Yeah.
Right.
And that probably accounted for a tremendous part of that jump between 8,500 and 11,000.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I'm also thinking that once this, you know, passed the actual point of being funded, I was thinking how many people went and bought a second one to flip on the aftermarket.
Yeah.
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 That's true.
It jumped 1,000 in what a day. Like those seem to be legitimate, just, you know, purchases or people funding it. So that was over and above the other fan channels or whatever. So
there's also just like a certain psychology to this kind of thing where there are a bunch of people who weren't going to back it because it wasn't going to get made, even though their numbers would have been helpful to get it made.
Yeah.
That finally decided they were going to go back it. Also, go register to vote, people.
Huh. That's what I never understand. Like, if you want it, just back it in the beginning, and then it would have got funded so much quicker.
They don't place a hold on your credit card. They don't charge you until, you know, it's a legitimate going to happen thing. I mean,
maybe it's good. Maybe because they didn't back it right away, maybe we got more extras out of this. I don't know.
That's entirely possible.
So thank you maybe for being a late backer. If I look at it that way, you know, I think there's also a lot of people who maybe said, oh, I can't afford it, can't afford it. And at the last minute, they're like, oh, I don't want to miss out on it, I'll just back it. But they complained about the price for, you know, a month and a half, which is fine. You know, you have that prerogative. And the other thing I really want on this, because this is a kind of like Kickstarter in my mind, is one thing Kickstarter requires is a monthly update till the project is completed and in the people's hands. I hope Hasbro will follow that. I want a monthly Unicron update. That way we can talk about it on the show.
I don't know if they did anything like that with the barge or not.
I hope Hasbro says absolutely nothing about it for the next year, so we don't have to talk about this again until next fall.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Any other high points, though, that we need to discuss? I mean, we mentioned the weird factor around the backer number or the percentage coming down from the site, which I think is the fact that something is broken. It's probably easier to just delete it than to fix it, and it's probably saving them from getting questions about it.
I think it was just a mistake. I think the conspiracy theories, you know, if Hasbro was pushing numbers behind the scenes, I don't think they would have pushed it up to 11,200. They would have got it up past the number.
Yeah, that seems a bit excessive, doesn't it?
Yeah. No,
but if they were going to do that, they would have done that without bothering to extend it.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly right, Rob. That's exactly right.
I think they may have extended it just to because they were worried about it. And, you know, maybe they could have snuck in a couple hundred just to get it over the hump. But I don't think they would have pushed it up to, you know,
3,000
on the theory that the domestic retail partner pre-orders were a big part of what got it to 11,000. Like where it was before the extension, it probably actually could have made it once those numbers were added in. Like it probably would have been okay if that speculation is correct.
And late backers possibly? In that, I think almost certainly would have got it over the 8,000.
Yeah.
I'm going to say possibly, but I think that maybe if they were able to do an informal poll of the retailers involved, maybe the loose numbers they had were not confident enough in to make sure it would have made it over, and that's why they decided to extend it.
There's another way you can look at the extension too, which is that maybe Hasbro decided to also use that time to explore again. Into the last major markets that they had not been able to touch, like the UK and parts of Europe. Like, you know, it may have been to give them more security in getting their backer numbers, but it also gave them the opportunity to make sure that more of the fans in their markets would have an opportunity at this, however briefly.
The case, I applaud them for that. Because, I mean, I think originally that's why Big Bad Toy Store and some of those other stores that were offering it for more money as a service to get it to those places where they couldn't get it direct through Hasbro or, you know, through a retailer that had
people who didn't want to pay for it
relationship.
Well,
with
I guess
Hasbro.
You had to pay for it.
Or at least you're paying for it
deposit
either way.
Up front. I'm not sure how they handled the rest of
the whole
it.
Figure. Yeah.
There was a non-refundable deposit.
Still a lot
and then
less
you still had to pay the full amount. So on top of that, I mean, I applaud Hasbro if that was a reason for extending it to get it into more people's hands across the world. I think that's great.
Yeah. So,
Don?
Yeah, one thing I wanted to bring up was the packaging. I mentioned this earlier on Twitter last week about had they mentioned would the packaging be like one of 8,000, two of 8,000, just to add a little bit of collectability to the figure.
Or in this case, one of 11,300 and whatever.
Exactly. But I'm hoping in the budget they don't just put this thing in a selects brown box and ship it out.
I hope they do.
What I hope is that they have a custom series of gigantic Ziploc bags made.
I don't want them wasting any money on unnecessary packaging.
Well, I'm just saying something like this. that's only going to, and John Warren has said, there's not going to be any more runs of this. This is it. And I would like to think they're going to put this in some packaging that reflects the figure. Kind of like, for example, we use this as an example. When DC Direct started doing Green Lantern battery props, the first release of Hal Jordan's Lantern came in a box that looked like his locker at Ferris. You open it up, and the battery was in a clear window, and it looked like it was inside of a locker. And
all goes in the trash.
And it was a really nice packaging for their first release of a 1-to-1 scale battery prop. I'm just thinking that the Hasbro box, while it would be cheaper doing it as a Brown Selects box, I would like to think that this is going to be the only shot this thing gets. I would like some packaging to represent.
Okay.
Maybe the opening shot of the movie or something like that.
So they got 3,000 more orders than they were expecting, and they have the money to throw at some packaging.
So
and that'll be fine as long as there isn't QC issues.
Go ahead,
there's
go
a
ahead,
bunch Chris. Of QC issues. No one's going to want to care about the packaging for the toy.
The sail barge came in a vintage style box, Blade Raider says. So, I mean, there's a precedent to think that they will not just do it in a select style box. And I imagine it's going to be G1 repro style packaging.
But as Peter, PhD MD, says, put every cent of effort and energy into that toy. Anything else to me is a waste.
I agree. Like a sail barge and a Unicron are very different things. And you know, one small QC issue won't destroy a sail barge necessarily, but it certainly can take a lot out of a Unicron.
Yes, there's a lot of moving parts in something that transforms. So
I expect 19 pounds.
I totally agree.
SDCC style packaging. That's what I expect.
Yeah. I just think that. I totally agree. I'm just saying this thing needs to come in because it wouldn't be kind of a letdown, kind of in a small way, that you finally get this figure that's only one run. You're not going to get any more of this figure made, and it comes in a brown box.
That's what I want.
That would just be kind of like...
Ryan would be happy.
Yes, I'd
be
happy.
I know. It'll come with a cardboard... Cybertron, and he'll be smashing it in package, and it'll be a window, and you open it up and you'll see Unicron just smashing Cybertron.
Okay, so that actually dovetails into something I want to address from the chat here. Bumblebee85 has toys notes that they're trying to eliminate plastic from their packaging over the next like 2 years, which would definitely coincide with Unicron or come close to it, which is a good point. But for a toy that big, it's unlikely there would be any plastic in the packaging anyway, except for maybe the ties to secure it.
Styrofoam.
Just because. Well, I'm thinking more like the egg carton recycled paper. But I mean, it would be packaged more like a Titan class toy or even Jetfire, where basically everything in the package is cardboard.
It's 19 pounds, so I think it's going to be more reinforced, but you're probably right.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, they're not going to use a plastic tray because a plastic tray is not going to support 19 pounds of weight any better than, tissue paper, basically, at that point.
Okay, I think we've said all that can be said.
I certainly hope so.
So hopefully this is the last
time. If we have, we don't have to talk about it anymore.
No, okay.
I'll make sure to post stuff on my Twitter and use the hashtag we got Unicron made.
Fair enough.
Blade said that he didn't think his Brave Max had any plastic in the box.
It probably didn't, because halfway through Car Robots to Car changed the packaging style to remove the windows from the packaging, and they changed all of the interior elements to be cardboard. So yes, your Brave Maximus almost certainly came in a 100% cardboard package.
Yeah, mine did. Well, not the one I have now. The package it came from.
Yeah, that was mine.
Yeah, it came from Chris's house, so.
It's okay, though. I cleaned it before I gave it to
you. Thank you. Okay. So Rob Springer posted a new episode of Transform Squadron this week. Episode 14, Treat, Trick, Cross, Treat, I think is the name of the episode. So that's at tfradio.net or zonebase.org. Follow Rob on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer. We're on Twitter at tfradio and on Facebook at facebook.com/tfradio. And on YouTube under Radio Free Cybertron. I'm on Twitter at BKilby and on Instagram at Brian Kilby. Diecast.
You can follow me on Twitter at Diecast2. You can see all my reviews on tfradio.net/reviews. And you can also follow me on Facebook at Reviews by Diecast.
Cool. Chris.
You can follow me personally on Twitter at ChrisRTXB. Parental discretion is advised.
Yeah.
I do have things for sale, so please check out my sales thread and buy some stuff. That'll help me out a lot. You could also maybe buy something from my Amazon wish list if you just want to do something nice for me, which is at tfradio.net/chrislist. As for my toy photography hobbies, playwithphotography.com is where I post galleries and articles, sometimes guides if I can think of something I want to write about, usually related to toys and photography and, you know, toy photography, because that's sort of my thing. But as far as social media, I also post random photos, which ideally at some point would turn into a whole gallery, but we're still working on making that transition lately. But you can follow that on Instagram at instagram.com/playwithphotography or on Twitter at playwithphotos. And if you like the work that I'm trying to do, even though I'm, you know, kind of slacking off a little bit, oh, Ben, the weather's been bad. But if you like the work I'm doing, you want to help me do more of it, you can contribute via Patreon for as little as $2 per month at patreon.com/playwithphotos. Or you can join the insert name tier for $5 a month, get exclusive early access to galleries, and get your name added to a credits image that goes on every new gallery that goes up.
Cool. Let's see here. Don.
I can be reached on Twitter at HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
Cool. Rob.
I'm on Twitter at Figure Viewers. I'm also on YouTube at Flailthroughs, which is my gaming channel. I am covering Gundam Battle Operation 2, the free-to-play Gundam game, which is now out in the U.S. I've been putting up some guides for beginners the last couple of weeks. It seemed to have gone over fairly well. If you like what I'm doing at the channel, you can go to patreon.com/flailthroughs and throw me a couple of bucks and request specific combinations of mobile suits, colors, weapons, etc. And also, I too have an Amazon wish list, which will benefit both me and Brian at tfradio.net/claylist.
Cool. Did I get everybody? Yep, I did. Okay. We'll be back next week, 20th anniversary episode. Send us your favorite moments.
Oh, why am I so old?
You're so old.
Or Unicron talk next week.
No.
Never.
Okay, bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?